Blog Talk Radio.
Come on,
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom. Sound the shofar for the Sabbath day. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, forgive us for our sins. Bless your people on this day, scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, that are in great derision and trying to figure out what to do in this hour. We know who's busy. We step forth in you in faith by doing all that we know to do, which is be consistent with what you ask us to do. Give your people strength and help them to do what they need to do. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. So be it. You are listening to Blueprint for Life, brought to you on Babylon Talk Radio here on the Shabbat. I'm going to say Shalom. Brother D, how are you doing this morning?
Doing just fine. Shalom to you and to all the brothers and sisters out there that are tuned in. When you get a chance, I want to read something here, show how important following these commandments and mostly following or obeying and honoring the Sabbath. It's a time when before the Hebrews went into captivity from for Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire. And one of the reasons or what the Most High had to say to them before he allowed them to go into captivity.
So you want to get into that a little bit later in the lesson?
Well, whenever. I can do it now, too. It's about it's Jeremiah 17:21-27.
Okay.
But I think it's appropriate because, you know, we're here honoring the Shabbat.
Okay.
Well, let me go ahead and read it now.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeremiah 17:21. Thus saith the Most High, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ears, but made their necks stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently break hearken unto me, saith the Most High, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city of the Sabbath day, on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein. Then shall there enter into the gates of the city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses. They and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense and bringing sacrifices of the most of praise unto the house of the Most High. But if ye shall not hearken unto me to allow the Sabbath day and not to bear burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gate thereof, and then shall devour the places of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. It shows you the Most High is serious about the Shabbat. He is serious about the commandments. It's a holy day. We do our utmost to honor this holy day.
Wow. That's a very good scripture.
I came upon this yesterday. I was reading Jeremiah, and then I came upon this scripture. I said, oh, this would be a good scripture here because it's just telling everybody how important it is to honor the Sabbath. This is before they went into the captive of Babylon. Of course, they didn't listen, and so that's why they ended up in Babylon. The Most High, we're a special people to Him, and so He really holds us accountable. I mean, I know it hurts Him that He was getting all of this pushback, these people who were not honoring Him after all the things He had did for them. And, it's just like, what's wrong with these people? But the Most High is not like man. He won't break His covenant. So He stayed with with Israel, the house of Judah. He stayed with us because the Most High is not like man. He doesn't break covenants. And so, and we need to rejoice in that because, He could have, like I said, He could have cast us out a long time ago, but He didn't do that. He doesn't break covenant.
Yeah, I want you to elaborate on that scripture a little bit more, but you're bringing up a very good point about not breaking covenant because He won't change. He's consistent with what He does and what He says. And I think in this hour, we have a big problem with allowing what's happening in this life, in this world, with politics to change us or fret us. And that scripture is very key because we have to stay focused, par for the course, and do all the things that are necessary for us to do. So there were some key things in that scripture you read. I want you to highlight on it if you don't mind, because I mean we're getting off to a different start, but that's fine because you set the tone that the Sabbath and the Shabbat is serious. It's a sign. So there was a portion in that scripture, if you don't mind highlighting that, about the commandment to keep it no matter what.
Well, let me find that. Okay. Are we talking about the, let's see, 26, where they shall come. Oh, no, not that one. Let's see. But there's 27 saying that if they won't hearken to us. I think I know which one it is. So I think I'm looking for it.
That's Jeremiah 17, right?
Yeah, 17. I started at 21. I said, 24, if ye shall come, it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Most High, to give you no burden to the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, and do no work. Then shall enter the gates of the city, kings and princes, sitting upon the throne of David, fighting in chariots and horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and this city shall remain forever. That's what you're talking about.
Hallow, the 27th verse, is set apart the Sabbath day and not to bear a burden. So what I'm looking at is the fact that you should also release your burdens, your problems, your causes. Give all that to Him. And then enter into the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. Then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof. And so and the incredible thing is that he's talking to Judah because this was, if you go back to, everything you're reading from Jeremiah 17, and I don't know if you started at 19, but all the way down, all that has to do with that.
Exactly. I started at 21, but yeah, it goes back. And all of this is because, and the thing is, the Most High, You get like these people now say, you know, I didn't have nothing to do with slavery. I didn't do it. Well, the Most High had the children, like right now, we're paid for the sins of our fathers. And the Most High, you know, he looks at all of that, you know, because chances are your fathers committed those sins and then you're still doing them.
Right.
And so just because you
yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day. So let's that is very interesting because it gets into a whole other thing. I never really examined this about not carrying a burden. So he says he's pretty much saying lay your troubles down.
Well,
are you there?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm here. Exactly. I mean, you know, you're supposed to, you know, trust in the Most High and look to the Most High. And so, yeah, laying your burden down on the Sabbath because, you know, you're not, you know, it's the time to worship Him and to think about the Most High and to read the Scriptures. You know, you're not worrying about, you know, what's happening out in the world.
And this is, you know, I'm looking at this right now in the Hebrew. You don't even want to know what this means in Hebrew. Do you want to hear the Hebrew word for burden?
Yes, go ahead.
Massa.
Massa?
Yeah, like our brothers and sisters said in slave times. Yes, sir, massa.
Yeah, okay.
Massa, M-A-S-S-A. Which is a noun, and it's a masculine noun, and it means a load and a bearing, a lifting, a bearing, a tribute. So it has a lot of meaning, and it's amazing that there's a lot of these words that we would say as slaves that people didn't realize it was Hebrew, but it's massa.
Yeah, that comes as a surprise to me.
Amazing, right?
Yeah.
And that,
of course, you
that, that was the main burden that we had as being slaves in that time. And it's kind of significant that you're saying what you're saying because I had a lot of things that pressed on me this week. I didn't quite know how to approach it or deal with it. Where Edomite came up to me and asked me, "Who are you? What are you? Are you a preacher or something?" Or
What were you doing at the time? What were you doing at the time when he approached you?
I was walking outside my house and he approached me and came up to me and said, "Hey, why you got that mask on?" And he asked me why I had that mask on because he said he left the wine country where his house is. What I didn't like is the fact that he told me what his name was. He said, look me up on Facebook. And I looked him up on Facebook. He looked just like Paddock in Las Vegas. He got guns on Facebook. But anyway, he just, you know, he wanted to talk to me for 30 minutes. He wanted to cry. He wants to cry to me and everything about his life and everything. So I just thought it was a trip. And I know a lot of my brothers and sisters out there are trying to figure out what's going on in this life, in this world right now. And there is a lot going on. But that was interesting to me.
Yeah. And the whole thing about these fires up there, let's face it, more than 97% of the people up in that area are Gentiles, heathens, or whatnot. And this is just another part of the Most High's recompense.
Right. Yeah. That's right. One of the most prominent parts of California, Napa County. all their houses got burnt up. And so I think that's something we should probably take into consideration, because it's not coming to the ghettos, is it?
No, exactly. I mean, it's not. It's coming to that area, and it's just like a lot of this stuff, you know, it's it's just the Most High doing what He's told everyone that He will do during this time. I mean, after that, everybody was all, like you said, everybody was all happy after the for the eclipse, and then after the eclipse, everything started happening.
You're absolutely right. As soon as the eclipse was over, all this stuff, all hell broke loose. You're absolutely right. And let's not forget that massacre in Las Vegas happened on the 1st of October during the harvest moon, where they like to make sacrifices, and they did it in front of the Luxor Hotel, which has it's not only a pyramid, but it has that phallic symbol in front of it as well, and the Sphinx. So,
yes, exactly.
Everybody wants to play that.
Yeah, the Most High is directing his recompense, because this guy wants to do that in front of that during that Chance the Rapper concert thing that they were. That's why he initially was going to do it, but he couldn't get a room. He couldn't get the rooms he wanted in order to do that. Then it shifted over to this this country music festival.
Hmm. Interesting. So, is the Most High in control or not?
Exactly.
Right. He couldn't make it happen there, because he wouldn't allow it to happen there. But over there, it happened. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm hating on a bunch of people, because, you know, Most High.
Well, it has nothing to do with hate. What it has to do with the scriptures and the recompense that the Most High is bringing, and how He say He's going to bring this about. You know, like I said, people, sometimes when you're telling people the truth, you know, that's the way you want to look at it. When, you know, you're hating. I said, no, I'm just bringing you the truth.
Right. Absolutely, but I mean, to think about that, I mean, like in my head, I'm like, okay, you tried to go to that concert and that hotel and it was blocked. But this one, it wasn't blocked. You were able to get in there and do what needed to be done. And if we sit up here and try to say that He is not in control of all things, then, you know, we're in denial. Somehow or another, He was able to go ahead and get in that hotel, even though we know, as I spoke on other days, He didn't act alone. But I don't have to get into conspiracy theories today, because we know even if He didn't, what you're saying has a lot more emphasis that still He allows things and He blocks things when He needs to block it.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, there's a very good passage, which is Jeremiah 17, 19 through 27.
27.
It talks about the Sabbath. That whole section says the Sabbath must be observed. But what you brought out today that stood out to me is, don't bring your burdens to the Sabbath, which is Massa in Hebrew. Yes, sir, Massa. That's what we used to say when we were in circuit breaker. Yes, sir, Massa.
There's still some coons today still saying that. You know, they're still up out there still saying that same thing, you know, running down their own people and promoting this, the agenda that they have out there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I want to bring out the fact that we didn't realize we were still speaking Hebrew for a long time, and they tried to strip that away from us. And the Bible told us that a strange nation. In the book of Deuteronomy 28, it said that, let me read it real quick. Said a strange nation with a strange language would take us over. And we have adapted their language and gotten away from our language. And we think that we speak a certain way for a certain reason, but we don't realize that we were actually trying to still hold on to the Hebrew tongue. Deuteronomy 28 and 49. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And so if you keep reading on 51, it says he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle. So that whole verse right there, that's about the curses and describing that we were going to be like, we weren't speaking English. We were speaking Hebrew.
Yes, correctly. And they did what? They stripped that from us.
They took that from us and forced us to learn their language, forced us to serve their God, forced us to bow down to Caesar Borgia, the white image, brought us over here on a ship that was called Jesus Christ, made us start using that name, Jesus Christ, when we originally knew what his name was, Yeshua HaMashiach. And they took that away from us, and then we started singing spirituals to each other.
Exactly. Let me piggyback on that and go to Deuteronomy 32 and 21. The Most High said, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation.
Mm.
And he's talking about this nation here, a foolish nation. Because we know a lot of the things they do doesn't make sense. None of it is of the Most High. I mean, they don't look to help the poor. Everything is about money with them, and everything is about gain. And the Most High calls them a foolish nation, and that's who he provoked us to jealousy with.
Right. Acts 10th chapter. He wanted us to be jealous. And we look at them and we're like, y'all, not us. You guys don't have these gifts, abilities. You fake. And then everything that these other nations do, it's amazing. They want to be us. They act like us. They take our culture, our style, everything. They steal from us. One sister said on Facebook, Brother Ed put that out. She's like, if I take everything away from y'all that we gave y'all, y'all wouldn't have nothing. And you won't tell us to go back to Africa.
Exactly. Well, I usually come back at that one. Say, no, you need to go back to Europe. Because you're not indigenous here. This isn't where you come from. But they're good with coming up with that. Go back to Africa. So I just tell them, well, you need to go back to Europe.
Yeah, we, you know, I'm still stuck on that scripture you read.
Yeah.
You got me. You said, don't bring that burden in. But I'm also looking at the fact that I think they recognize that their recompense is coming and it's here, and they don't quite know how to deal with this or handle it or how they can get in. And I think we also still have a responsibility not to totally hate them, but tell them that they can get in where they fit in. They have to get in where they fit in, because the strangers were always amongst us. So here's what you do. Keep these commandments and you follow us the right way. Don't take our culture and our style. Keep these commandments.
Yeah, repent. That's what they need to do.
Right.
You know, because, it's not in our nature just to hate people. You know,
no.
That's just not in our nature. You know, if somebody wants to understand what's going on, they want to come into the truth. They want to, you know, our arms are open. You know, that's not in our nature to just hate people, you know, for their skin color, for anything like that. That's just not in our nature.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. And they know that. And they know that it's not in our nature to hate. And that's the only reason why we served them for 400 years.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm like I said, I'm a little perplexed still at somebody accosting me, walking up to me, and almost pretty much trying to repent.
Yeah,
crying in front of me and everything, and it's just wild. But I realized that he said, hey, let me tell you something, Brother D. He said, I fled down here from the wine country where I had a house. And he told me about his house he had in Danville, $1.5 million. He like, you don't need a mask. I needed a mask up there. He it was wild. He said, I just ran down here to get away from the fire that's destroying my house and my family's house. And he said, I don't know what I'm going to go back to. That's crazy.
Yeah, you know, and when you look at a lot of them, moved up there to get away from us, so they wouldn't have to deal with with Yah's chosen. Although they don't realize, a lot of them don't, or they don't want to admit that we're Yah's people. They moved up there to get away from us.
Wow. Right.
But you know, just like we said, all you need to do is repent. Start following those commandments and start loving Yah's people. And just like it says, you know, if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. If you curse them, you'll be cursed. The problem is they've been trying to bless the wrong Israel. But if you do a little research, a little studying, that's easy to find out that they are not Yah's chosen.
So it's pretty safe to say that what transpired is just the beginning of what's about to start happening when these people start coming up to us apologizing for what they've done and their thoughts towards us, correct?
Yes.
They already know. You know, one of the parts of his conversation was he kept asking me, what side are you on? You know, like Republican, Democrat, liberal. You know, and I made it clear, look, let me tell you something. Those are two sides of the same coin. I don't participate in that. And they're quick to try to find that out because this whole country and this world is trying to get people to do the whole Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Republican with Trump, Democrat with Obama. Because civil war is here. It's coming. It's here.
So he asked you that. What side are you on?
Exactly. He did. Constantly.
Oh, man. Like I said, you know, of course, as you know, I'm not on either one of those sides. And I'm sure you, because we realize they're all, you know, cut from the same cloth. But there's so many people out there, you know, not only Hebrews, but also the Gentiles, that they're blinded to what's really going on and who they really need to focus their energy against. You know, it's definitely not Black people because, you know, we're not controlling this. But
I think they want to know if it's getting ready to come their way because they've been watching us on TV get shot down and killed. You know, I had another situation a couple of days ago where, how do I explain this? And I've seen this a couple of times. I had another situation a couple of days ago, and I know you've probably gone through it, and a bunch of listeners, you probably have all gone through it too, where I was coming downstairs to help my wife get out her car, do what she needed to do, and a guy was like, hurry up and get the hell out the way, blah, 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 blah. And when he said that, I was like, what's your problem? And he said, do you want me to call the police? You know, these people are quick to think like, okay, we can call the police because you'll get shot, and I won't.
Yeah.
This is what the media has put their minds, that if I call the police on you, you're going to die.
You're right. I had that happen to me, too, with someone. Now, the first thing, I'm going to call the police. You know,
right.
They figure, no, the police against you black people anyway, so that's all I got to do is call the police.
Right.
But, you know, exactly where you're coming
right.
from.
And that's what mainstream media has done to these people to make them believe that. And guess what? Pretty much, they're not mistaken, because it's to protect the citizens. They're sworn to protect the citizens, and we're not considered citizens of the United States, which is why they're pissed that we don't bow down to their flag and do what they need us to do. What we bow down to is what you just read in Jeremiah 17, is the commandments, and that's what we have to keep. And I want to say to the people, you know, I was a little perplexed when that came my way, but at the end of the day, like what you also just read, is you can't carry those burdens because they become your massa in the Hebrew, and they will bring you down. So you have to lay them down, especially on the Shabbat.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. So, are you going to come do this?
I know we haven't heard from that Sister Shabbat, Sister Tabah in the Herb of the Day. We're getting to that.
Yeah, we'll let her come on and do the Herb of the Day. And then I think, Brother D, we're going to go to the Book of Obadiah after that.
Okay. All right.
Come on, Brother D. How you doing?
Fine, Sister Tamar. How you doing this on this Holy Sabbath?
Very well, very well. So, today we're going to do the Herb of the Day. We usually do this on every Shabbat, Most High Willing, on Tuesdays as well. Again, we always tell the listeners that we're not herbalists, we're not physicians, we're not practicing medicine. We're just passing on information that has been freely given to us. Before I want to get into that, I was listening to your conversation, Brother D, and you were saying, Nelda, we were saying how the word tells us that if we bless Israel, they'll be blessed, and if you curse Israel, they'll be cursed. It's not only just talking about other nations. First and foremost, it's talking about our own nation, because there's so many of us in our nation that will curse us in a minute and start playing on our own team. And so I'm saying that to say this, that we have to be mindful within our own nation how we treat each other, because we will be judged on that. It's not so much about what our enemies do to us. It's what we do to our own, and that'll be breaking the commandments if we're not loving our brother and our neighbor as ourselves. So just wanted to point that out, because a lot of times on Facebook, you see everyone's always talking about these other nations and races. But if we don't get it together as a nation itself and start loving on each other, we're no better than those other nations. So we have to be mindful of how we conduct ourselves and carry ourselves as a nation of Yah's people, so we can be glorified and praised with the Most High. With that said, the herb of the day is going to be wintergreen leaf. And this herb, it relieves pain and reduces inflammation. And let me tell you, I could definitely use some wintergreen leaf right now. On Wednesday, I slammed my finger in the car door and I broke my thumb. So I'm in a lot of pain. It's beneficial for circulation, this wintergreen tea. It has been used for urinary tract infections, colic, stomach ailments. It's also been used for arthritis, headaches, toothaches, muscle spasms, rheumatoid disorders, also used for asthma. And so it's called winter grief leaf. It's supposed to help relieve pain and inflammation in your body. But if you want to know more, definitely do your research. Any herb that we bring out on this broadcast, you want to definitely do your research and make sure that this particular herb is something you need to help with your ailments. We know that the Most High, our Abba, is our ultimate healer. So we urge you to, and be with you to keep the commandments, that you be blessed, you be healed, and definitely keep these dietary laws. There's so many people that have gone on before, especially this week, this past month, and people are dying from cancer. It's just left and right. I have a couple of family members that passed this week from cancer, whether it's colon cancer, prostate cancer. I mean, it is everywhere, and it is growing in our people. So just ask that you be mindful. Read these dietary laws. Repent, like Brother D said, and make sure that we're doing all we can to keep our bodies whole. I'm going to go into the announcements. On Tuesday, Most High willing, we have the Heart of a Hebrew Woman. I'm pretty much caught up with work, so I'll be back consistent with doing the show. I won't be doing much traveling, so this should be coming, Most High willing, every Tuesday. On Wednesdays mornings at 8, we have Inspirational Wednesday with Brother D, LB. And then on Friday, Straight No Chaser, and then Most High willing, we will be doing the next Shabbat on airway again at 10 a.m. And that's the herb of the day and the announcement.
Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, yeah, I didn't talk about it, but I lost a friend first week of October due to cancer. But he definitely was smoking them cigarettes, though. So please get on top of these herbs. I just feel a little bit different today because so much has transpired in like 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm seeing things coming into fruition about prophecy, scriptures, and people passing away from herbs. I realize that they've got us conditioned on flying planes and spraying poison in the air. And at any given time, if the Most High allowed it, they could spray poison in the air and kill all of us. And so what it is, it's a slow poison with the chemtrails. So she spoke on cancer. Let me tell you something. Apricot seeds, which are only here for a short span of time, if you break the seed open, there's a kernel in there. And that kernel has B13 or B17 that fights cancer. Also, apple seeds. Organic apple seeds, if you eat those, that fights cancer. Purify your water. Purify your water. Make sure you're drinking good water, not out the tap, not out the faucet. People in Detroit will tell you that. Don't drink the water off the tap. Don't do it. Reverse osmosis is the best way to have your water. You've got to fight now to stay healthy because the cancer's coming. But then outside of the thing, what we're talking about today, commandments. The commandments keep you under Psalms 91 and 1. So why don't you do a duplicity of things as far as keeping the commandments and trying to make sure you put good stuff in your body and fight, because there are people, our people, dying, cancer, lupus, diabetes, and you got to fight back. Stuff in the air. We've had to wear masks here in California because they got fires in Southern California and Northern California. So, yeah, everybody's being hit with something. So be safe.
And Brother V, I do want to say about those masks. A lot of people get the dust masks that they have in the stores. Those aren't really going to help you with smoke. You need to get an N95 mask. And now you can get those off Amazon or get those online. But an N95 is what you need. because those dust masks, they're not going to combat the smoke. Smoke will go right through those.
Hmm. You say what? M95?
Yes. N is in Nancy, 95. I know because I used to have to wear certain things like that, you know, or train on those things in case we had some type of chemical spill or something that required you to wear a mask. So what you need is an N95 mask.
Wow. So this little dollar store mask I got on ain't going to do nothing for me.
No, that's not going to help you. It gives you a false sense of security is what it does.
Wow. Wow. Now, what about these masks with the ventilators on the side? Those are the best masks, right?
Yeah, those are, but you got to make sure you get the ones with the right cartridges, too. You know, because, but, you know, if you get an N95 mask, but do it. And, you know, because... You know, a person was looking for one of these dust masks. They went to store after store after store after store, and they're all, you know, they all sold out because they got people believing that those masks will help you. You know,
right.
and they're just not going to.
Gotcha. Well, people, you heard it from Brother D. Get the N95 mask. Because we definitely going through it up here. You know, you got everybody canceling everything, schools, everything, because of the smoke and stuff that's going on up here. But like I said, I encountered one of these Edomites who walked up to me and wanted to bear his burdens and cry on my shoulder. And, you know, sound like he went through a lot. But still, he ain't going through half the stuff that our people have gone through. You want to cry on me about divorces and things that went bad with his marriages and everything, but he still ain't went through half the stuff our people have gone through. And I guess it's coming. I guess we're seeing the fulfillment of prophecy right in front of our face, people. And like we always teach and preach, judgment going to come on us first, too. So we got to make sure we're right. And so Brother D brought out the scriptures about the Sabbath, how serious it is to hallow it, let it be set apart. You know, we always talk about don't buy, don't purchase, don't work. But you brought out another important piece today, which is don't bring your burdens.
And set them aside.
Set them aside. That was really good. You almost got me doing a Selah. I'm almost like, that's it. That's all. Because when I looked it up in the Hebrew and saw that it means Massa. Yes, sir, Massa. Because that's why we called him Massa, because he was burdening us when we were slaves. Yes, sir, Massa. Massa, Massa, Massa. That's why the slave said that Massa, because the Massa was a burden. He was beating us, whipping us, hanging us, screwing our women, taking our kids, selling everything we had.
Yeah.
Massa, he was our burden.
And making us celebrate or honor the Sabbath on a Sunday. You know, because the Hebrews had to work on Saturday, you know, sun up, sun down. And, you know, they give you Sunday. Sunday is your day of rest. So they're forcing us to dishonor the Sabbath.
Right. They force Sunday on us to the point where we look forward to it, and our people still look forward to it today because that was the only day they let us rest and didn't have to plant, pick the fields, and everything else. So they're like, okay, yeah, we're going to give these niggas Sunday. And that took the Shabbat away from us, and the Shabbat is clearly the seventh day, because Sabbath, Sabbaton, Sabbadol, it all comes from the word seven. It was the seventh day, and the Christian church tried to change it, talking about Mary and Martha went to the tomb on the first day of the week, which was literally sundown Saturday, and he was already gone. It didn't say he rose on that day. He was gone. So they showed up that next day, Sunday morning, and that's why these churches still have Easter sunrise service. talking about Jesus rose on Sunday.
How do you read these scriptures?
Common sense is gone. Common sense has been replaced by nonsense. And we fall for it. The okie doke. But go ahead, say what you're going to say.
Yeah, and how do you look at this, the scriptures, and in any way can come up with the idea that the Sabbath meant Sunday? You know, and these Christian preachers, they know this, but you know, they're still they're still obeying that Sunday, still get their people to obey this Sunday. There's no way you can look at them scriptures and not know that the Most High was talking about the last day of the week for honoring Sabbath. Because when I used to be in the church, a lot of times I had people say, "Oh, it's the Sabbath." What? That's all we're talking about. I said, Sunday. We can do it on Sunday. What's the problem? But that's because I wasn't reading the scriptures, and I'm listening to that pastor.
Yeah, they're listening to him, and it clearly says that. Here's what it clearly says in Daniel, Daniel 9:27, that he will confirm a covenant in the midst of the week, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. But we know that the Passover is in reference to the Old Testament Torah, saying that in the midst of the week, the lamb that was spotless will be sacrificed. So
the Most High changes not. And that's what you need to realize. He doesn't change. He's not changing any days. He changes. He doesn't change. And so if he says the Sabbath is on the Saturday, it's still on the Saturday, the end of the week.
Yeah, what is up with people saying that, you know, the law is done away with, he changed, he switched up? Why would you want to serve a God like that switches up midstream? Now you don't have to do this no more. This is going to change. I would be like uneasy saying, okay, when is he going to switch up again?
Exactly.
When is he going to tell us, oh, yeah, you don't have to do that no more? What is that foolishness?
Well, if you want to live in sin, then you know, you'll get with that. Because, just like we always say, it's no easy walk. You're following these commandments and these statutes and laws. Well, it's easier not to do that, you know, if you want to live in sin.
Most High doesn't change. And so it's amazing that they think that we are changing, but we're not changing. There's a Greek word called apokalupto, which is the revealing. And it's as if you remove a handkerchief that was covering something and you reveal something. That's what's going on in this hour. There's a apokalupto, which is the unveiling and the revealing of what was always there that you didn't see or didn't want to see. And that's the times that we're living in. No, he has never changed. You just didn't want to see him for what he was. You didn't want to recognize the true God of Israel. But you did know that you did not want these people to hook back up with their God, because you knew that they sinned against their God. And in sinning against their God, it put them into this type of captivity. Everybody in this earth knows who the Hebrews are, based upon the hell we go through. And they can sit up here and lie all they want, but they all see it. And they just want to see if you're a coon, if you'll play the game with them, if you'll act like them and try to be like them as opposed to them being like you. But they, how dare you raise up and say something against the lifestyle that they've afforded you to have. So now that they know, here we getting ready to go through another COINTELPRO that happened in the 60s and 70s, and now it's called Black Identity Extremists. You're all waking up, so let's have the FBI start looking for y'all. So I don't think it's strange that this dude walks up to me. They want to know, because I know I've been talking this crap for 10 years, and it's not crap. I'm sorry to say that. But they know. They know that we're waking up and they can't do anything against it because they know what the analogy and what the end game is, and that if we keep these commandments and we keep this Sabbath, that we're connecting back to our God and he's going to avenge us. Just had to say that, Brother D.
Or didn't the Most High tell us that they would be coming for us?
Yeah, he did. He did. He did. And I don't think we believe. I think there's a lot of stuff we don't believe and we don't recognize. And, excuse us, radio public, me and Brother D having conversation, because there's just so much happening in the earth. And I know we like to stick to the commandments on the Shabbat, but there's so much happening in the earth. And we want you to realize that we don't just keep doing the Sabbath and the Shabbat lessons, and you don't really think this is going to happen. Come into play. We are now in the hour where this is getting ready to all be unveiled. Apocalypto. It's all getting ready to be uncovered. Your own little president, Donald Trump, said, this is the calm before the storm.
Yes, he did. I heard it.
Yeah. He said, I heard it.
I said, what did Donald Trump
do? Donald Trump was taking a picture with his family, and he looked at the reporters and photographers and said, this is the calm before the storm. Mm-hmm. Huh. He said, y'all ain't saw nothing yet. Forget about Vegas and all that. It's about to go down. You know?
And all I, yeah. They wanted him.
Well, you know, let's not forget this. President Obama signed everything into law. He signed more, what do you call those things?
Executive orders.
Yeah, he signed executive more executive orders than any president in the history of mankind. And now Trump gets to enforce them.
Yep, and a lot of those executive orders were pretty much taking away rights that we've had.
Right, against Hebrews. He even signed an executive order permitting slavery. People,
yes.
The only thing I can tell you today, you can go in archives, because I'm happy with saying what I'm saying today. You can go in archives and listen about these commandments. If you don't keep these commandments, you're not going to have nothing, because I realize that truly we're vulnerable and we have nothing else to hold on to but Yah, but the Most High. That's all we have. All we have are these commandments and Yah. That's all we have. I mean, like I said at the beginning of the show, if they want to start spraying everybody, we've got so comfortable with the chemtrails and the planes spraying poison in our lungs that we'll just let them do it. Nobody saying anything. Nobody wants to do anything. We'll just let them do it. And so when they get ready to spray arsenic or whatever and kill us, they'll do it. Because what is the goal? Georgia Guidestones. Reduce the population down to 500 million. What's the population now? 7.5 billion. So you want to kill 7 billion people? You don't think it's getting ready to try to transpire and they're going to upgrade it? You're not going to be amazed by somebody calling you, telling you that somebody died or somebody's dead or something happened to somebody. It's because that's what they want to do and that's what they're going to do. So
and I'm just
telling you, people, Y'all got to keep these commandments. Why? Because the commandments are the only thing that gives you blessed assurance according to Psalms 91. That's the only thing. If you're in sin, there's something coming towards you. Go ahead, Brother D.
Yeah, and that's why you tell the Hebrews, stay away from these vaccinations, these flu shots, because I'm just waiting for the time to come up when they're saying that there was some kind of mistake and there was an issue with the shots, and, you know, people start falling off. You know, and they're going to say, well, you know, we're sorry this happened. They'll supply you with some money, but in the meantime, your loved ones are gone.
Wow. Wow. And you're absolutely right. They know. Okay, I posted on Facebook that they're getting ready to start paying kids in between, I think, 15 and 25 money to get vaccinations. They're going to pay them. And they know the poor kids that want some money in their pocket are going to run and get a shot to get some money. They're paying them $25 to $100. And you know these kids, they just want money. They just want money to go buy something. They're getting ready to start paying them to get a shot. They're going to pay you to get a shot now.
Well, you can tell that last that article where the woman, they, matter of fact, they jailed her because she didn't want to get her kid vaccination. While they had her in jail, they gave the kid those shots.
Yes.
So, you have to be suspect because they make these, they're making this mandatory. In order to go to school, you got to have these vaccinations. And that has never been the case in the past.
So, well, these kids don't have to tell their parents nothing. They can go get an abortion. They can go get a shot. They can do whatever they have to do, and then the kids are going to start dropping dead. You're going to start hearing about mom and daddy talking about, oh, I had to bury my child, because these kids feel like I got all this freedom. People are not even realizing, oh, man, I just heard this week that CPS, Child Protective Services, they have been a big contingent in enforcement. They have played a serious part in human trafficking. They're taking these kids out of these houses, and then they're selling them. And these parents never see them again. And they're being put into sexual slavery. They're being abused. And just because you make one mistake or something happens with your child, they take your child from you.
And that mistake could be what, families have done throughout generations, and that's discipline their kids. And they're calling it a mistake now. You know, but Most High, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. I mean, you have to discipline these kids, and then because some kid doesn't like the way their parents discipline them or taking this way, not letting you play with your PlayStation or whatnot, the next thing you know, they know who to call, 555 child abuse, in order for them to get what they want.
Right. And then that child ends up into some human trafficking or being raped or molested or whatever because they want to report their parents, not letting me do what I want to do. So this is the hour we're living in, people. I can't stress enough. I mean, like I said, normally I and Tamar and Brother D would get on here and talk about the commandments, but we are living in perilous times that you read about and you didn't believe would transpire. Now it's in your face. It's in your face. And so if I'm telling you, the only thing you have is your faith in the Most High, Hayah, your faith in these commandments, because the scripture says in Revelations, here is the patience of the saints, they that keep the commandments. You're patiently waiting and saying, I'm going to persevere, I'm going to keep these commandments, because I know that if everything else is being fulfilled from the Tanakh and the Torah, then Revelations is going to be fulfilled. So I got to keep these commandments. I'm going to wait. I'm going to trust and hope that he will deliver us from the evil that's coming on the earth. We have no other faith in nothing. What are you going to do? Like me and Brother D talked about on Wednesday, every nation serves idols, false gods, statues, relics. us, true Hebrews, we better keep the faith in these commandments and know that I'm doing this for a purpose and I'm doing this for a reason, because I know Revelations has not all been fulfilled. The Most High came back, brought his son, Yeshua HaMashiach, who you call Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the first portion of our feast days, and now he's got to come back and fulfill the final portion of our feast days, which is tabernacles. Come tabernacle with us, atonement, bring us salvation. What was before atonement? Trumpets. The trumpets. When he sounds his trumpets, he's going to come back. That he's going to fulfill the final three feast days when he comes back. So you got to keep these commandments and these holy days. And put you in
and Brother V, as far as keeping the commandments, you know, they make it hard to try and keep what the main commandment, commandment forward, obeying the Sabbath and keeping the Sabbath, because they got everything happening on Saturday. You know, this is when you're supposed to go out and do this. I mean, you need to go out and do this. And so, you know, what we do is we try and stay at home. You don't want to do any, even if you go somewhere, you don't want to, you're not doing any work. You're trying to honor the Most High. And they make it hard with today's, the way everything is today, to comply with that commandment.
Man, they sure do make it hard. Somebody walked up to me and gave me tickets to a football game last night. Here, you want to go to the game? I'm like, what the hell? You want to go to the Cal football game? Here you go. You got some free tickets. And don't try to sell them on Craigslist. I'm like, what the? Sound like a lot's been going on, huh? All week, huh?
Exactly. I'm getting that sense.
Yeah, that's how it's going down. And I just think, and I'm laughing with you, brothers and sisters, but I think we don't really realize, one thing, how we make a difference. Number two, demons and Satan knows who we are and they fight against us. And number three, how he's going to ramp it up against us. He's going to cause problems in our home, our marriage, with our family, with our jobs, with our money. And that's just the beginning. Because it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. You're going to have to make a choice. It's going to get real bad. You might be eating some grass off the ground just to survive.
That's going to be, you're telling me that might be your salad?
It's your new green salad.
That's the herb of the day. That's the herb of the day. Y'all gonna be eating grass. Let's get into this victorious book of Obadiah, because we're gonna kill it with this, because we need to bring it out. Obadiah, the first chapter. It's only one chapter. Obadiah, I call him a one hitter quitter. One bullet. Him and Jude. Him and the book of Jude. Just one chapter. Just boom. He just kill you. The vision of Obadiah.
A walk-off.
Go ahead.
I said a walk-off.
Yep, they dropped the mic.
Do it.
Obadiah, yeah, and Judas dropped the mic. They just they dropped
it's
the
done.
Mic. Like, I'm done. Let me just spit it real quick. So let's listen to Obadiah. He said, the vision of Obadiah, thus said the Lord God concerning Edom. We know who Edom is, him and those Amalekites. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? That's what they're saying right now out of the Napa Valley wine country, with them $2 million homes and $2 million estates, $1 million estates, and their whole entire winery business has been burnt down to the ground. This is what they're saying.
Just like that. And did you see they had this river of wine? Well, this wine, I guess they had, you know, they have all these wine barrels and everything. Well, they say they had this river of wine flowing. So
I should have been up there for that.
Yeah.
Hey, did they have any pomegranate wine? But you know, I mean, I'm telling you, this is what this cat, he told me. I have not even gone up there, me and my girlfriend, to see what we got left. He knows it's gone. He said, for the second time in my life, I've lost something. I'm just looking at this man. But let me finish reading this, because, yeah, that's what's happening. Esau's kingdom is coming down. Verse 4. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, who exalts thyself as the eagle? What's on the back of your dollar bill? What is the national bird? Huh? It's Mystery Babylon, known as America. And then don't be surprised that other countries also use the eagle as a symbol. So verse 4 says, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Satan made it clear that once he was cast out of heaven, he said in Isaiah the 14th chapter, I will be like the Most High, and I will exalt myself. I will build my kingdom amongst the stars. He said, I'm going to get back up there. And what is he doing that through? He's doing that through NASA. NASA, y'all have no idea how much hell NASA is causing amongst the earth right now. NASA in the Hebrew means beguiler, a beguiler. NASA is deceiving many, and at the behest of these storms with the HARP machines and there's so much technology that these fallen angels have introduced to mankind that they're causing it. But at the end of the day, most people don't want to hear me say this, that man is making these geo-rad storms, but man can't do nothing unless the Most High allows it. And if you look throughout the entire Old Testament, it is always another nation that destroys another nation. Second Chronicles 20 and 22 will tell you that all we did was praise the Most High. And while we praised him, three nations begin to destroy each other. So he allows nation to go against nation. He said in the last days that we call him Iran. But he said the Medes are going to come against Mystery Babylon. People, you need to know that there's going to be an attack against North Korea. But the moment they try to attack Iran, it's going to be all hell breaking loose. Let me read the rest of this. You have something you want to say, Brother D?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay, verse 5. If thieves come to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of the Confederacy have brought thee even to the border. When we talk about Confederacy, we have to go back to Psalms 83 that says they are confederate against us. Let's make the name of Israel no more. Let's wipe these people out. We're the only people, nation, that don't know who the hell we are. We think our culture is chicken and watermelon slavery and riding on the back of the bus. No, it wiped out our nation, our generation. Psalms tells you how they've been confederate against us. Who are the confederate nations against us? You need look no further than the United Nations meetings.
Exactly. And if I go back to where you read that they're going to set their nest in stars, I mean, that's what they've been doing. You know, they got the space station up there, you know, there. But the thing is, it's all within Earth orbit, you know, because, you know, the Most High is not letting anybody get off this rock, because if they could get to the moon, they would be trying to set up establishments up there so they could supposedly get away from this recompense. But like, there's no hiding. And so that's why, you know, they said they set their nest up in the stars, because, like I said, they constantly try to get up there. They can't get through that Van Allen belt, and so they're trying to find out ways to do that.
Check this out. And then on top of that, the only one that was able to let them get halfway up into the stratosphere was three black women from Houston, Texas.
Exactly.
And they hid that from us because they was able to do the math. They was able to do the math and figure it out. But you're right, Brother D is right. And you know what? I've been leaving this subject alone, but I think, Most High willing, next year I'm not going to leave it alone. The man has not gone beyond the stratosphere. And when that remnant, when that stratosphere breaks open, which is blue, whenever they don't spray us with chemtrails and smoke, when it opens, it's going to be because the Most High opens it up for the return of Yeshua HaMashiach. It's not going to open up, and ain't nobody going in and out of it like that. They've been lying to us. And most people, it's been a taboo subject, but it's not going to be taboo no more, because we need to bring out the truth. We need to bring it out. Ain't nobody been up on no moon. Talking about they put a flag down there. It's all a lie.
Exactly.
It's a lie. It's a lie. Because like somebody told me, if they've been to the moon, why they ain't got no cameras up there so we can see what's going on right now? Because they got cameras everywhere.
Exactly.
We should better tap in online and see, like, oh, let me see what's going on the moon right now.
Exactly. I mean, that's why they stopped going there, or saying they stopped going there, because, like I said, now it's more easier to check to find out they're lying,
right,
as opposed to before.
Right. So they're pretty much saying, how do we keep the lie going? How do we keep the lie going? Because there's so many lies we've told through Freemasonry and secret societies throughout life to keep these people. And do you know what the ultimate end narrative of the lie is? Keeping us from knowing that we are the chosen people because of what they did to us.
That's the biggest kept secret. That's the biggest kept secret.
The biggest secret. And then it's like, how come we don't know this when we see that everything we do is so... I mean, you all were the presidents. You're the best of sports. You're the most intellectual. I talked about the ladies and showed them how to get halfway up into space and guide the rocket ships. I mean, but they keep you thinking you dumb. That you're the less, you're the least. Are you serious?
And if you do some research, there's so many inventions that have been done, come about by Hebrews, that have been stolen from them. I mean, but the records are still there who actually invented this stuff. You know, you go back to the third, the third rail for the electric train, blood plasma. Only there's just so much out there. If you go look, a lot of people that didn't even know that. There was a black man that created a automobile before Henry Ford did. It was much more sophisticated.
Automobiles, cell phone, airplane, all that stuff. And I think what transpired with me this week is gonna get ready to start happening to a lot of you, because they want to find a vehicle to apologize. But there's no apology that can be accepted, because the scripture tells us that if you want to apologize, you got to sell all that you own and truly humble yourself. And they're not ready to do that for us.
No.
So apologies, Hebrews, in the coming years, because they see what's happening. Their statues, their idols are coming down. They're fighting amongst each other. They go to their little concerts and get shot down. And, you know, I'm not applauding that, because I don't applaud anybody having to lose their lives, because it can happen to anybody. But there is a day of reckoning coming, because a lot of our people were murdered and killed, and babies snatched out of mothers' wombs and fed to alligators and beat and burned. You know, the 4th of July. Let me tell you something about the 4th of July, and I might be getting off. But
you are. Get back
on. Hold on. The 4th of July, if you were a black man over 40 years old and they didn't think they could continue to use you in slavery because you were getting old, they would torture you because they said you weren't as strong anymore. And these are the things that transpire with our people. So there is going to be a lot of repentance taking place.
Especially, you know, when you look at how they would celebrate lynchings. They would do their postcards. They make it a family picnic out there to watch a black man lynched. Got the kids there and everything else. You know, what kind of person, what kind of people would do something like this?
Brother D, it was reported that some of these older Caucasian people that were like in their 80s and 90s that had garage sales, they had relics of our people when they were hung and dismembered. They kept the parts of their body in the garage.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you said it used to be a festive thing. They all came out for that. And people would like be like, what is this? Oh, that's when we hung that dude. And we were celebrating it.
I mean, like I said, what kind of people could have that kind of spirit?
Right. Let me read the rest of this. And Sister Tamad, I'm getting off track. Obadiah 1, verse 8, shall I not in that day, said the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the Mount of Esau. Ooh, that says a lot. I'll just touch on it quickly. For him to say that in that day he will destroy, that means that they have it and they've been blessed with that for such a time as this. But there's going to come a time where he's going to erase that and evaporate all that understanding and the wisdom that they do have. So this is a set time for them, just like it is a set time for Hashatan. Verse 9, and thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the Mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter for thy
Brother
violence.
D. Okay, now you get ready to meet it, into the meat of it. These
yes,
some powerful verses coming up.
Yes. Every one of the Mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Verse 10, listen to this, like you said, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Wow. I mean,
for a month or two.
Most High just got through saying that I'm about to cut them off forever because of what you did to my people, because of what you did to Jacob. I'm gonna take your wisdom, your knowledge, everything you think you got right now, I'm about to take it away from you, and I'm about to destroy you and cut you off forever. Verse 11, in the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captives, his forces and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day he became a stranger. Neither should thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither should thou have spoken proudly in the day of his distress. Thou should not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou should not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood
Brother
in the crossway.
Yes. Yeah. And what it's saying is the Most High says, now, this wasn't the time for you to take advantage and go and get what you could get. He was dealing with his people. And all they should have did was stood back and said that the Most High is dealing with his people. You know, that wasn't an opportunity for you to go in to steal and to pillage and to get what you can get out of the situation.
Thank God we're coming to the end of all this, but you're absolutely right. Even when you see them saying to them football players, which the NFL is like 75%, 85% black, you better stand up. They're going to keep using us until they can use us no more.
And the heathen saying, well, I'm a boycott. They're not going to boycott because they're wrapped up in their pleasures. That's one of their main pleasures. You know, you can talk all this stuff, but I'm not going to. I mean, they didn't put their money out there already. And then plus they got to get their gamble on. So they ain't going nowhere.
Right. Right. And, not to get off track, but I don't know what's up with the NFL and that whole thing, but those Khazars and those Jewish people are running that whole league and using these people and exploiting everything about us. But I won't get into that. We're still in the midst of our calamity, and we're coming to the end of Esau's kingdom and getting ready to go into Jacob's kingdom. But this book of Obadiah, they don't want to hear this book. Matter of fact, anybody listen to me, have you ever heard a Joel Osteen type preacher preach out of the book of Obadiah? No. In all
exactly.
My years being alive, I have never in a Christian church heard anybody preach out of the book of Obadiah. Because it's too straightforward about what's going to happen. Because then you immediately say, well, who's Esau and Edom and who's Jacob? And you have to go back and do the work. And they try to change that narrative. But Obadiah lays it out straight. Y'all going to get it. And that's what we're starting to see is that people are shaking and becoming scared to the point where they're fighting against each other. And some of these John Browns are trying to make recompense by fighting the ones that are, liberals or whoever they are. They think they can make up for what their forefathers' sins.
And going back to Joel Osteen, what those preachers do, their only thing is gain and prosperity. So they pick out a few verses here and there, and that's all they ever preach on. That's all they preach on. They don't go through this book with sincerity and try and bring out what this book talks about. They just pick out the verses that they interpret as them getting more money. And then they spend the rest of their sermon. They have that one verse, two verse, and then the rest of the time they're giving their opinion and making people happy and singing and dancing. And, you know, they're not edifying.
Right. Let me read the rest of this. Verse 14, neither should thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress, those who have survived to keep these commandments. Verse 15, the day of the Lord is near. This is prophetic right here. The day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. I have been saying
that. That there shows why they don't go into this book. That's powerful.
They don't want to read this. What you've done is going to come on you. And we can't see in this hour who's been doing the dirt and who's going to have recompense. They know, but they're fighting with their very last breath to keep it from happening, but they can't stop it, and they don't see how it's going to happen. And the only way and reason it's going to happen is because the Most High coming back to those who are patiently waiting and keeping the commandments and believing that he will come back and fight for us. They don't want us believers to keep believing and hoping and praying for him to come back. Verse 16, for as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau a stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain, the Philistines, that's the other people that are possessing our land, the Palestinians and the Khazars are possessing our land, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. And captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharvaim, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors, listen to this, Brother D, right here. This is the 144,000. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's.
No place to hide.
No place to hide. I believe, as we talked about before, I believe that those 144,000 are alive and in the earth today. We talked about that with Brother Ed last week. We were talking about they shall be virgins. We talked about they will not defile themselves, meaning that they will not be polluted with any judgments, any false religions. And they will lead the 12 tribes.
And they're going to be surprised and say, how'd you get into this underground bunker where we're supposed to be safe? Because they make no mistake, they are the richest 1% and politicians over there. I mean, they have these underground bunkers that they're going to be going in to protect them for this destruction that they create. I mean, you know, that they have actually that, and also from hiding from, you know, the Most High and his angels and the 144,000 that are coming back to, you know, for their recompense. You know, they figure they're going to be safe there.
Yeah, it's amazing because they are the forerunners of the prep movement, like prepping yourself to be prepared for doomsday. Sometimes we get caught up into that, but do we realize that the doomsday they're talking about is their day of judgment?
Yes.
That's not for us. That's their day of judgment. Now, I will say, look, be safe, people. Have water, have food to where you don't have to go out. But the judgment day is for those that a recompense is coming upon and those that don't keep the commandments.
I mean, you can Google and find Jerry Jones at the underground establishment that he's put together.
What to say, all of Denver is like that, too. The whole entire Denver airport is an underground city. They want to make Denver the new capital, et cetera, once they start destroying the East Coast and West Coast. They all have these underground little places. They can actually hide from the Most High. Anybody thinking like that knows that they don't know the Most High. They don't even believe in the Most High.
Well, they don't. But the people putting this together, they don't believe in him, but they know he's there. That's why they're building these complexes.
You bring up a good point. Maybe they do believe in him. He's scared that he's coming to get for what they've done. Right. They probably believe more than I think they believe.
Yeah, because what do they always say? Well, I wasn't a slave owner. I didn't do this. Why should I be held accountable? But see, the Most High holds the children of their fathers that have done things. He holds them accountable. Just look at what's happened to us. You know, we're suffering for the sins of our.
You know, the arrogance and pride of their great great grandchildren persists. Which is why they look down upon us, copy us, mimic us, but don't want to be us, talk bad about us. That arrogance is still pervasive inside of it. And furthermore, they're going to have to pay for the sins of their forefathers.
And just like we said, you know, we're hated by every nation, even those black people that come here from different areas of Africa or whatnot, you know, they hate us too because they want to distance themselves from the so-called African-Americans, you know, or the Hebrews. You know, they want to distance themselves from us. They don't want to claim that they're part of the black people here. So we're even hated by those who, so many times, skins are darker than ours.
Right. Well, brothers and sisters, the most important thing that we can say to you today is that it's important that you keep these commandments, these statutes, laws, and commandments, and hold fast to our culture. That's what we try to do is restore our culture, which is more vast than you know or understand. And you got to open up your think outside the box, open up your mind, and realize who we are. And what we have to do, because we're in major transition right now, and it's easy to be left behind. It's easy to be left behind. A lot of y'all might be having out of body experiences and crazy dreams. We're in transition. It's about to go down. So you read Obadiah, read Jude, and know the truth that's about to transpire. Brother D, you got any final words?
Praise the Most High. And like we said, the most to follow these commandments and to keep this Sabbath. I just want to pray that, give thanks and honor and glory to the Most High for what he has planned for us.
Praises to the Most High. Appreciate you being on, brother. Appreciate that scripture today from Jeremiah. Good scripture about laying your troubles and your burdens down. Yeah. What was that?
I said, that's great. That's great.
Yeah. Jeremiah 17.
Yeah, because, it's funny. Last night I just thought, I said, let me do some reading. And then I just decided to go up to Jeremiah. And that's when I came upon that.
Right. And that's important. I think we realize how much we have to put to the side when the Shabbat comes. And you know what? That's only a benefit for us, too, when you think about it, right?
Yes. Cuts down on the stress.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. All right, brother. Well, we're going to get up out of here. Appreciate it.
All right.
And
like I said, all praises to the Most High.
All praises to the Most High. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey, not a destination. Keep seeking for that truth. Keep these commandments. Keep the Shabbat. Keep the holy days. And keep focus. Till next time, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Chuck.